For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
And welcome back to the Eden Assignment. Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Eden. Got an inspirational piece for you this week. You know, a lot going on. I'm not the oldest person in the world. But I'm not the youngest person in the world, and I sure do see a lot of mouthing off in society to people who, you know, were respected at one time, whether it's social media karate instructors who've been around forever or leaders of the country or, you know, school teachers. It doesn't matter. I'm seeing a lot of disrespect, and I know that everybody has the right to their own opinion, and that in itself, it has to be respected. But I want to let you know something, and I want you to think about what I'm saying. You know, if you have to further your cause by slandering somebody else, cutting them down, demeaning them, your talking is coming from a place of fear. It's coming from a place of fear inside of you. That fear is either, A, you are going to lose control in some way, shape, or form, or B, you are going to be counted or deemed worthless or invalidated. Maybe that's a better word. You're going to become invalidated. Any individual on the planet, if you have to publicly and verbally slander this person, whoever it is, it's always one of those reasons. Afraid of losing control, afraid of being invalidated. I would like for you to take some time and think about that thought because it's a pretty heavy hitter. But the Bible has a lot to say about that. And I want to break down some of those points. First of all, everything that you have to fight will weaken you. Now, I know I'm a skilled fighter. Going on 30 years next year. So I'm actually heading up on the rank of grandmaster next year. And I've won some fights, and I've lost some fights. This is in the ring. I always come out the next day. Usually I can't move very well. Because fighting weakens you. Even when you win, it still weakens you. And, you know, give it a few years, you know, 10, 20 years go by. You can look at the way I walk up the steps, ladies and gentlemen, and you will know that fighting has weakened me. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. I fought. And when you fight, eventually, if you keep doing it and you keep training to do it, it settles in your bones. It settles in your joints and your back and your knees. I know a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. All that you can embrace will strengthen you. You know, if we could have gotten a ring and just hugged it out, some of those people, I didn't even know who they were, some of those ladies I fought. They were in there for the same reason as me. But just think, I wouldn't probably have a lot of these aches and pains and joint issues. I went to the doctor. I mean, wanted to put me in physical therapy for degeneration now, starting to take place in parts of my lower back. Sounds terrible, I know, but a lot of you listening, you've already had at least one hip replacement, so you can just stay quiet. All right, listen, what I'm trying to tell you, biblically speaking, you're supposed to, first of all, be careful the things that you say. In the book of Proverbs, it does state that out of your mouth will come life or death. You literally speak into existence the things that you say. And you need to understand something. When you speak verbally and loudly, vocalizing something negative, even if you write it, there are demons out there that are very attracted to that. They're attracted to the negativity coming out of your mouth. Why? Because you're created in the image of God, and your mouth is very powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No, that's not true. Words will hurt worse than sticks and stones and broken bones. Words are forever. The broken bones, they'll heal in time. The things you say with your mouth, they sometimes never go away. They cause permanent damage at times. The demonic entity, call it whatever you want, but it attracts that negative energy. It is very attracted to the hateful, vile things that come out of your mouth. And so now what happens is you've just snowballed the whole thing to cause bad things to happen to you because you've attracted it. You've attracted it into your life. You've attracted it into your relationships. You've attracted it into your home. That's why so many people say nothing ever goes right with me. I believe you. I actually was there in my early 20s. I came out a very angry young woman because of my life circumstances. And it just seems like everything could go wrong. I'd get up, go somewhere, and from the time I got in my car to the time I came home, it was just one thing after another that would go wrong. Constantly. You know, from people cutting me off in traffic, you know, to getting ripped off and screwed over in stores. I mean, I literally had to have a sit down with myself and my Lord and Savior and say, man, you know, God, something's wrong. I was in my early 30s. I'll never forget it. Something's really going on here because nobody could have the kind of luck that I have. Nobody could have this much chaos in their life. And you know, and I just went through a whole, that's when I started my real spiritual journey. And it's almost like God said, are you finally going to listen? Are you ready to just listen to me? Yeah, I'm laughing now. It wasn't funny then, but I tell you what, it's been quite the journey. I've had to learn a lot of things. And one of the biggest lessons, and my mentor, Chaplain John Scott, has hammered this home for years for me and for those close to me, including my own son. Watch your thoughts. Watch what you speak. You're not hurting other people when you speak bad about them. You're hurting yourself. You attract it onto you. So be very careful. Why do you have to watch your thoughts? Because your thoughts will cause you to speak. Everything you see out there, everything great and everything small, started with a thought, ladies and gentlemen. Every single bit of your success in your life started with a thought. You have to watch your thoughts. Then somewhere you had action on what you thought, and you had enough belief to make it happen, and you became victorious. But it all started with your thoughts. What you think and what you speak will attract into your life and into your journey exactly what you're putting out there. This is a biblical principle that things will come back to you according to what you attract. I do three different series in my other Facebook group about how you can attract evil and how you invite evil into your life. I don't put it in my inspirational group because I don't want people to have nervous diarrhea. So I don't put it in there. But if you want to go check out the Eden Assignment Warfare series, you can go through all the cases that I have on there. And it outlines and explains this spiritual attraction and how you invite things to happen in your life. But I want to stay on focus here with what I'm trying to tell you today. Don't speak bad about anybody. You know, you got your best friend, your spouse, or whatever, and you're saying things. I understand that. Sometimes that's just therapeutic. Don't publicly put stuff on social media. Don't voice stuff. I see it all the time, and the first thing I say is that person is living in fear. Is there something I can do to help this person not feel so fearful? I mean, some of it's hilarious. In my own industry, in the martial arts industry, on social media, I'll see somebody bash somebody else, and then they'll post something about their grandkids, for Pete's sake. I mean, come on, guys, you're not 21 years old running around with the gang. You're grandpappies. Let's put it away already, okay? Let's stop it. You are attracting things, and it's coming from a place of fear. I want to break that down even more for you. The Bible talks a lot about fear. The word fear is mentioned in the Bible many, many times. I heard 365. I can't validate that because I didn't check that fact. But a lot, okay? It doesn't matter if it's 365 times or not. It's a lot. Fear not. Fear not. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit that does not come from God. That's what the Bible says. So if it doesn't come from God, well, guess where it comes from? Fear. You have fear in your life, and the only way that you can feel like you can conquer that fear is by saying things that are demeaning to other people. Then you are not living in the correct spiritual light. you would be incorrect on your spiritual journey if that's what you're doing, because that doesn't come from God. There are people like, oh, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm doing that right now. But you can see I'm not doing this in a reprimanding way. I'm trying to do this out of love as a teacher. And, you know, when you, for those of you who teach martial arts, you know what I mean. Kids mess up all the time. Your students mess up. You don't slander them. You don't demean them. Well, you shouldn't. But you still tell them the truth to help them grow. And you can feel it in your spirit when you read things, when you hear things, if someone's coming from a place of love or someone's coming from a place of ventilation. You can tell the difference. You can always tell the difference. Please be very, very careful. Let's clean this up and make our spiritual journey worthwhile. You feel like you got to speak bad about other people because you're afraid you're going to become invalidated? I'm talking about everybody from your own household all the way to the leaders of this country. Do you feel you need to talk bad about people in general, whoever they are, because you're feeling like they're going to make you feel somehow invalidated or worthless? You're going to feel invalidated. You're going to lose control. It's scary. Hey, listen, man, I'm a control freak. I know what you mean. I don't like not being in control. Hate it. Still trying to learn that lesson to let go of control. I've had to, in the last couple of years, really learn how to take things one day at a time and let go of the control. And you know what? Mama doesn't like it. I don't like it. I prefer to be in control. I don't like not having that control. It's very, very, very scary. A lot of people who are leaders in this world, they feel that way. Kind of a sign of leadership, but it's a double-edged sword because it'll go against you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the physical realm, you're a leader. You got to be in control. In the spirit realm, it says, uh-uh, let go of the control. Mm-mm-mm. There's a higher reasoning. There's Father God above who's watching down below. You don't need to be in control because that's his job. You can't be God. God is God. So don't try to control everything. Sometimes just keep your mouth shut. Go away and pray. I get bothered by things. I'm learning how to just let some time resonate with these things. You know, before you answer back on things that you feel like you're losing control on, just wait. Spend a little time in prayer. It's okay. Nothing's going to change between this afternoon and tomorrow morning. Nothing's going to matter. It's not going to make a difference, usually. Okay, usually. So let some time go by and try to be active and reactive in the proper way. So how do you act when you feel like someone's going to take your control or someone's going to invalidate you? Well, the Bible outlines that too. The Bible says faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love. Love conquers all. Love. Love is a weapon. Love. When you swing that, you're always going to be in control. What? That's right. There's a reason why Jesus Christ always talked about loving people. Even your enemies. Jesus Christ talked about loving your enemies. You know why? Let me tell you a little secret. It's not because you need to be a martyr, ladies and gentlemen. It's because it puts you in control. I'm not kidding. In one way, shape, or form, if you can love people, even if they've done you wrong, you're going to have the upper hand. You're going to be in control of that. You'll make things disappear. Let me tell you a story. When I was a first-degree black belt, some time ago, and I was competing in a lot of tournaments, and there was another female black belt who was higher ranked than me, but she really didn't take to me. I was starting to get a lot of attention in magazines, and she was higher ranked and felt like maybe she felt like she should have been the one to get the attention being higher ranked. I don't know what she felt. Sometimes women are weird. They just don't like other women, and it's just I've learned to accept it, and so whatever. Okay. But, I mean, she started to create real problems for me because she was in my federation. And, you know, I decided that I was going to reach out and handle this in a spiritual way. So she was a very good competitor. And she won the grand championship of a recent tournament at that time. So I sent her flowers. Say, congratulations. All of us look up to you. all of us women in this federation look up to you. I want to let you know something. After about 2 years of torture from her, it all just went away. No more torture. If I knew all it was going to cost, you know, was a $30, $35 bouquet of flowers, dang, man, I would have done that a long time ago to have peace in my life. She's higher ranked than me. She's making me miserable. I mean, I really thought maybe I should just quit, which is what she probably wanted me to quit. But I handled it in the spiritual, the fortitude of love, the greatest weapon of all. And it did it. And it put me in charge of the situation. There was nothing to take away from me at that point. Great lesson for me to learn of how if you swing that love around, it puts you in control of the situation. I'm not even sure that this young lady even trains anymore, and she's very good. I don't think she has in probably a couple of decades or more. I'm way higher ranked than she is now. I've done great things in my martial arts career. All to God be the glory. But, you know, I don't even see her on the scene anymore. So I'm telling you, this is an incredible weapon to use. Yeah, you have to kind of humble yourself initially. But if you understand that one act of humility is going to give you complete control, would you be willing to do it? You know, I heard this recently in a marketing practice. Everybody you meet, try to find something immediately that's going to make them feel like a worthy person. I'm like, man, no wonder I hate sales. That's so much trouble. But it does work. Sometimes, especially some of my female women friends, females are women, but you know, you're strong and you're powerful. And sometimes you walk in the room and your presence is enough. It causes people to drop their head. Other women will drop their head when you walk in the room. I'm not making this up. I've had many years to experience this. There doesn't have to be a reason for another woman not to like another reason. I mean, not to like her. There doesn't have to be a reason. They just don't. They smell it. They sense it. They don't like it. It's a threat. Whatever. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to go out of your way to try to find something to make every female in that room feel worthy. Sometimes even the men make them feel worthy. This is something that I've learned to do. And you know what? It's a little way of showing love to everybody by saying just something, and it really works. You can sense that energy when you get in the room with certain people in the room. First thing I do is go up, introduce myself, and say whatever I need to say right off the bat to make them feel more worthy. Because once you validate someone, they're going to let that go. They're going to let that go. And sometimes, unfortunately, even men, when you're very successful, you're going to have that problem where people aren't going to like you just because you're successful. You're like, oh, no. No, it's opposite. People love you when you're successful. Well, they love you if they want something from you. Yes. But on the backside, if you don't know this, a lot of people can't wait for you to fall. Can't wait for you to trip up and fall. Take pride and glory in it. If you go up, you can squander that, squash it right away. By letting your first thoughts be love, ladies and gentlemen, find something to validate that person, whoever it is that's causing issues right off the bat. Get it over with, get it done. It will work. I have expended to you some pretty good secrets today. But most of all, don't ventilate against anybody that has a soul. Anybody that has a soul, you need to make sure that you mum up and just wait things out. Oh, I said, well, I don't like the president. Well, you know what? Are you really going to like ruin every relationship with everybody who is not on your political team over someone who's in office for a few years? You've had these people in your life your whole lifetime and probably will. Come on now, let's be smart, okay? I'm not political at all. But let's be smart about this. Can you just keep your mouth shut and just pray? Pray for everybody. Pray for every leader. I don't care who it is. Pray for your local leaders of your city and your county. They're making decisions on your behalf, ladies and gentlemen. You're so scared of the president. Would you believe me if I told you Congress is the one that has all the power anyway? The people you elect are the people who make those decisions. Even on a city-county level, they're making decisions that affect your lives and the lives of your children. Pray for them. Pray that the right people come into leadership. If you read in the books of Corinthians, even the books of Romans and some of those Pauline teachings that we have in the Bible and the New Testament, they outline power, jurisdiction, and how someone on a spiritual path is supposed to treat them and how they're supposed to deal with that. All in there, man. That book is all in comprehensive of everything that you may need to know as far as how to live your life in a spiritual regulation. All in there. It's all you need. I know people pay a lot of money to do in my opinion, some pretty crazy stuff. You know, I'm Native American a lot. I have a lot of nationalities, but that's one of them. I identify with it pretty heavily, and I know I look every bit of it. But a lot of people approach me for Native American cures for things. you know, I'm not being disrespectful of anybody's religious belief. Don't get me wrong, because I know you only know what you know, and you know what you identify with, and everybody's on a journey. But you are not going to find me in a sweat lodge, okay? I'm a bad sweater. I mean, I would be the one they're carting out, you know, in the ambulance. I don't mess with stuff like that. I have Christ. For me to live and operate is Christ. That's what I am. That's what I do. That's what I've always done. And I don't mix religions. I can't offer you. I mean, I'm very educated on Native American religion and ways. I'm a Native American educator. I know a lot, and I understand why behind the what. But I'm going to tell you, for me to live is all about Christ. And I hope I encourage you to take that path. I hope I do. I hope you'll check into it. And if I can help you, let me know. Well, listen, here's me. This is me. I'm a broadcast journalist by trade. Did it for 20, 25 years. Worked for Fox News, NBC, PBS, CNN hits. Even had a Fox National hit, I believe, one or two. That's what I do. That's my trade for a long time. Got out of it, went to seminary, became an ordained chaplain. I've written 4 books. I want you to get them if you like me, because I've written them, and I don't want them sitting on a shelf and not generating some income for me, okay? Basically, martial arts philosophy books, except for one, which is a Simon & Schuster book. It was a big publishing, though. Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo. What else? I also have one self-help book called Will I Ever Feel Happy Again? I have one book called I Am a Martial Artist and They Call Me Master. Those are my two main philosophical books. I write for 2 magazines every month. So if you enjoy my stuff, I appreciate you letting me know about it, because I don't know unless you tell me. And I'd like to know that I'm making a difference in the lives of people with the gifts I've been given. Writer, teacher, speaker, and now minister. That's what I do. So pray for me and all that I do. I got some things coming up. I have Native American causes. I do a lot of fundraising for those causes, speaking engagements, what I sell. 9 times out of 10, that's going to go right back into helping Native American causes. And the big one is with the Native American women. Ladies and gentlemen, Google it if you don't know this. They're disappearing by the thousands. Nobody knows what's happening to our Native women. They think maybe in the sex trade. We don't know. This goes all the way into Canada with Indigenous people, our women disappearing. It's alarming, and it's heart-wrenching, and it needs to stop. So between my ability to minister and my ability to teach self-defense, I do go up into tribal lands, and I help these women and children. So that's what I do. If there's some way you can help me, let me know. If you can help me contribute to this cause, because they're not getting any help. They're not getting a lot of help. It's just now starting to get a little bit of attention from the government, and they're not really too worried about it. I think there are some branches that are trying to help in some way in some jurisdictions, but they have to start with just documenting and recording what happened. And, man, that's a process, because things weren't recorded correctly. Why? Well, because the tribal law enforcement, you're looking at one law enforcement officer for every, 3,000 people? It's impossible. Yeah. Oh, well, listen, pray for our women. Pray for our kids. Pray for everybody's kids. Pray for the kids. They're our future. Pray for them. When we're getting ready to go in a nursing home, they're going to be running things. Keep that in mind, right? Pray for the animals. They have no choice. They have no voice. I wish for no living thing to suffer. My prayer is that of St. Francis. I don't want anything to suffer. Nothing. I don't care if you eat meat. I don't eat meat, but I it's not for a cause. I don't like meat. But if you eat meat, I don't mind that. I just want to know that the animals you're eating didn't suffer, that they were taken out expeditiously, quickly, and killing. There wasn't an issue, and they didn't suffer in their life. I see a lot of things I don't like, and it bothers me. But I'm going to start with prayer and ask you to pray with me over suffering that it stops in this world. In Jesus' name, God bless you. See you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.